ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Okay, so we're on, who can remind me, the series that we're running presently. What's the title of the series? Can anybody remind us? We're running a series presently. Can anybody remind us what that series is about? I will know by your response whether you are following or you have just been coming to church, marking attendance. Hallelujah. So who can remind me? We're running a series, started in July. Okay, so this is July. We're running a series through the month of July and August. So can anybody remind me what that series is about? Nobody. Speak up now. Kingdom wealth. If you are sure, speak up. Okay, so how has it been so far? How has it been so far? Have you been able to get anything at all? Somebody has been able to get something? You haven't got anything. That will not be funny at all. You have been able to get something. You have, some revelation has come to you. Praise God. Okay, so we're running that series all through July and August. And this evening, I'm going to be talking about power to prosper. But before I go into that, I want to lay a foundation and I want to bring out something. Okay, Matthew 22. You know, on Sunday when I was taking the offering, I said, Pastor had talked about how we have an all-expense-paid trip and how you just present yourself. And I was talking about how we refuse to show up. And, you know, between Sunday and now, I have gotten more light. You know how you say something and then you go home and you're meditating and some other things just come up to you. So I'm going to do that as a foundation. And this foundation applies to, it's going to apply to everything that you're going to be listening to, even from here on. So Matthew 22, from verse 1 to 14, is talking about the parable of the wedding feast. This parable also is written in Luke, but the one in Luke is not as well written out. So I'm going to read. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." How many of us know that God has arranged a marriage for him? That God arranged a marriage? How many of us know that we are the bride of Christ? Okay. So, "And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless." I'm going to stop there. Okay, so the background is this. A king had a wedding banquet prepared, and there were invited guests. How many of us know these invited guests? How many of us know who these invited guests are supposed to be? We don't know. We do now. They are Israelites. They are the physical Jews. So when Jesus came into their midst, and they despised him. They did not accept his message and all of that. And so because they did not accept his message, if you get back home, go read from Romans 9 and to 11, chapter 9 to 11. Paul was talking about how the Jews refused the message. And because they refused the message, the Gentiles were brought in. And we are the Gentiles. Okay, so we have been brought in. And this is where I am going. The king now said to go and bring in all the people. We are the Gentiles. We are all the people that have been brought in. Amen? And aren't you glad that you have been brought in? Hallelujah. So we have been brought in. But then the king now comes in and sees that there is somebody that is there without a wedding garment. So even though you have been brought in from the wayside and all of that, there's still a garment. There's a way you're supposed to appear. There's a way you're supposed to do stuff. And the king was angry and was sent out. So where I'm going is this. You know, John telling the woman at the well of Samaria, he says, when the woman was saying, they say you should go and worship God in Jerusalem. He says, you worship who you do not know. He says, these are the times when those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Because God is seeking for such to worship him. Can we display John 4:23, please? John 4:23. We talk about it a lot. We know about it. Okay. John 4. It says, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So, yes. So, my point. We have been brought in. And most of us, including myself, want to do stuff the way we like. But there is a way things are done in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a way things are done in the kingdom. So even though we have been brought in, if you go back to that Matthew 22, they were brought in. But somebody came in not appearing in a wedding garment. So, my encouragement this evening, like I said before, is that, and this is at the base of everything that we're teaching, even beyond this Kingdom Wealth series, the encouragement is this. You have been brought into the kingdom. But there are ways to do stuff in this kingdom. You cannot say that you want to do stuff the way you want. Do you get? There are ways that God desires that things be done. And if we're going to get the best of it, we have to align to the principles of God. Praise God. Praise God. I remember that when Pastor started, he talked about this kingdom having principles. Having principles. Having, we're not saying rules and regulations, but hey, there are things that, there are ways to do things in this kingdom. And if you're going to get the best out of this kingdom, you have to align to the way God wants things to be done. Amen? Amen? So please put that in your left hand. Put it in your left so that you don't eat with it. There are ways things are done in this kingdom. Things are not done anyhow. If before now you have been told that things are done anyhow, that is it. That is, please delete that from your what do they call it? Your medulla oblongata. Okay. Delete it, please. There are ways things are done in this kingdom. Praise God. Praise Jesus. So this evening I'm talking about power to prosper. My background is one verse of scripture and then we'll go into some other verses. I think we need to do some reading. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Can I have it in the Amplified, please? Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. It says, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Can we also read it in the message, please? Message. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised your ancestors as it is today. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Okay, so you can go back to the Amplified for me and just leave it on the screen. NKJV, faithful NKJV, says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. This is a very popular verse of scripture. When you're talking of prosperity in the Bible, you should get here. You should get to this verse of scripture. And you know, it's a verse that by and by, on and off, I go back. You know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you give me power to get wealth. You give me power to get wealth. You give me power. How many of us have been on this prosperity journey for some time? How many people have tried? You know, in Christianity, there are different things. There are a lot of things. There's healing, there's power, there's prosperity. There are so many things. So how many of us have been on this prosperity matter for? Raise up your hand. Confirm. Some of us have been on this journey for some few days. Okay. So this is a scripture that, you know, I read and I'm, okay, you give me power to get wealth. How is this going to work? How does it work? And, you know, as Pastor just started on Sunday, it just hit me again. No, I have to go back to this verse because it is a foundational verse to prosperity. Hallelujah. It is a foundational verse to kingdom wealth. So I said, okay, let me do some verse study, as we call it. So this evening it is study, it's Bible study, verse study as it is. So I went back, I said, okay. He says you will remember. What does it mean to remember? If he says you should remember, that means you can forget. And most of the time we forget. You know, in the preceding verse, if you look at verse 17, it says, or from verse 16, it says, who fed you? Verse 16, 8:16. Remember here that Moses was talking to the Israelites just before he departed. He says, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do the good in the land? Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Because it is so easy for us, and that is where we are. It's very easy for us to say, my power, yes, and the might of my hand. It's easy for you to say, I got a 6-digit paying job. I got a 10-digit paying job. And so that is why I have wealth. Praise God. So he said, you shall remember. Like I said, if he says remember, that means you can forget. It is so easy to forget that God is the source of everything. There's a scripture in Corinthians, Paul was saying it. It says, there is nothing you have that you have not received. So let nobody form, like we say, that you have not received it. There is nothing you have that you have not received. Praise God. So what does it mean to remember? It says to be mindful. It says to be mindful. You know, that I checked the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is zakah. It says to be mindful, to recognize. But dictionary meaning says, and I like that dictionary meaning, it says to retain in your memory. To retain. That means that every step of the way you're saying to yourself, God got me this. God gave me this. God gave me the power. To retain in your memory. To keep in mind. To remain aware. You are constantly aware that God is the source of everything that you have. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that I said we're doing a study. So I checked out remember. Like I said, remember means that you are aware, constantly aware. And then I checked out power. What does it mean to have power? It means to have capacity. It means to have capacity, to have strength, to have ability. You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about capacity development. Sometimes there are things that you want to do, but you don't have the capacity to do it. The capacity may mean you don't have the skill. You don't have the skill set. Like you people talk about, Abby, you say you have, there's a skill set for some things. So here, power means capacity. It means strength. It means capacity. It means strength. Just follow me on in this study. Praise God. I ask the question, why does God give you power to get wealth? Why does God give you power to get wealth? And if you look at that verse, it says, so that he may establish his covenant. So God giving you power to get wealth is not for you. And that's one thing I want you to leave here with tonight. God giving you power to get wealth. It's not about you at all. And that's where we miss it. Because when we're talking of getting wealth, talking of prosperity, we're thinking of what we want to do, how we want to do it, how we want to spend the money. Mm-mm. And we have gotten it all wrong. God gives us power to get wealth because of him and him alone. It's not because of you. It's not because of what you need or what you don't need, what you want and what you don't want. No. He says he gives you power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to our fathers. He may establish that covenant. So please, let it settle in your mind. Because from what I see and from the little I know, until we understand that this thing is not about us, we're not likely to go far. Until we move from that position where you think it is about me, or it is about myself and my family, or myself and my whatever, we're not likely to go far in this journey. Praise God. So let us settle it here and now tonight that this prosperity matter, this wealth matter, is not about us. It is about him. It is about his kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. So please, when you get home, I think I'm going to recommend, just write it beside your bed. Prosperity is not about me. It is about God's kingdom. Hallelujah. It is about God's kingdom. Praise God. So the power for wealth is released on the platform of the covenant. Pastor has said that severally. If there is no covenant, yes, you will work, you will earn money, you will spend it, but we're talking of beyond, we're talking of wealth here. We're not talking of money that you can, you know, you are able to gain by the use of whatever it is you have, your qualification. Your qualifications and all of that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking of salary. We're not talking of naira and kobo. You know, your budgeting. How many of us know all of that? The budgeting, income, expenditure. This is the budget. No, that's not what we're talking about here. So, the power for wealth is released on the platform of the covenant. Prosperity is a covenant you practice. You practice this covenant. It's a covenant you practice. And if we're going to practice this covenant, we need to understand our part of the covenant. You know, earlier on, I laid that foundation. I said, there is a way that things are done in this kingdom. So we have a covenant. And all of us know that a covenant involves two parties. God is settled. For us, we need to understand what our part of this covenant is. We need to understand what our part of this covenant is. For this kingdom wealth, you need to sign in for this covenant. Meaning that I had said before that in this kingdom, we have a lot of things. There's healing, There's prosperity. There's please give me another. There are some major subsets, major headings that we talk about. We talk about healing. We talk about prosperity. We talk about faith. Yes. We talk about power. There are major things that we talk about. But for this, and there are different things that apply to different, like I say, subsets. For prosperity, you need to sign in for the covenant. You need to sign in. You need to be deliberate. You are deliberate about the law. But for this, you need to sign in for the covenant. Praise God. Let's look at that verse again. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers." The covenant that he swore to your fathers. Who are the fathers? Can anybody give me an answer? Who are the fathers? We go to who the fathers are, then we go to what this covenant is. Who are the fathers? I can't hear you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Beautiful. So, there is something that he swore to them. And when he was talking to the Israelites, he said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this, not because of you, but because of what I have said, or the covenant I have cut with your fathers." So let's look at what this covenant is about. Galatians 3:13-14. And this is where we come in as Gentiles. Galatians 3:13-14. Galatians 3:13-14, please. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The blessing of Abraham. The covenant he swore to our fathers. So let's look at this covenant. The first time Abraham was going to be blessed was in Genesis 12. So we're going to be doing quite a few readings because we need to establish what these things are. What are the things that belong to us in this covenant? Genesis 12. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" And this is the blessing. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That is the first appearance. Genesis 18 and verse 18. Genesis 18 and verse 18. Just take note of all of these blessings, of all these things that God told Abraham. It says, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. And this is upon what he had told him in Genesis 12. "And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This is what he told Abraham. So let's move on to Genesis 22. Please take note of all of these things. And when you get home, just, you know, go back and read and meditate on them. 22:16-18. Genesis 22. Okay? And this was when God told Abraham to lay down his son. And Abraham did not fail the test. And I dare say that in this journey, we would have tests. God will test us to prove whether we understand what it is that we're entering into or that we can be trusted at all. Praise God. And Abraham passed the test. And then from verse 16, it says, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. This is the blessing of Abraham. This is the covenant that God cut with Abraham. So we move on to Isaac. You know, we said the fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in your book, you should be, you know, like cataloging all those things that God has said. What he told Abraham, because everything that he has told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob belongs to you now in this new covenant. Praise God. Genesis 26. And when he was Isaac's turn. And you know, Pastor was talking about this on Sunday when...
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more...